A certain minister, I have a couple of his books. I've used him as a sort of resource on occasion, especially related to his teaching and preaching on the Holy Spirit. He writes a monthly letter, a kind of combination newsletter and devotional. This from him from December. He writes, "Usually in this month's letter, I would write something related to Christmas, but I felt the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell you about an experience I recently had while traveling. As my wife and I were flying on an airplane to a certain destination, I was praying to see if the Holy Spirit had a specific word he wanted me to communicate to our friends and partners for the year 2024. It was during that time of prayer that I heard the pilot announce, 'We've been informed that we will encounter heavy turbulence on this flight. So please remain in your seats and keep your seatbelts fastened.' It was then that I suddenly heard the Holy Spirit speak to my heart and say, 'The year 2024 will be visited with turbulent episodes across the entire globe, especially in the realms of finances and politics and in the nations. These episodes will be of a sort that they will potentially cause those who are not rooted in God's word to be deeply disturbed. But for those who stay in faith, those who stay in peace and love, who stay in fellowship, those who keep sowing seed for the sake of eternity, for those who are and who stay rooted in God's word, they will experience not so much the deep disturbance, but rather a supernatural power that will cause them to be unmoved, unshaken, well provided for, and to walk in a much needed divine assurance, divine peace, divine power, and divine and supernatural victory." Yes? Those who stay in faith and peace and love and fellowship, sowing seed for the sake of eternity, those who stay in the word, they will be blessed, empowered, joy-filled, and sustained, and they will miraculously thrive, even if the world around them is tossed with a tempest. I would be inclined to believe that he did in fact hear from the Spirit that there is trouble that's coming. A stay in your seat, fasten your seatbelt kind of turbulence that we're about to go through. You can agree or disagree, it's okay. I've certainly been wrong before, no doubt he has as well. Maybe he is this time, thought he heard something the Spirit was saying instead, just something he was thinking. You can decide on that. I don't think that's really the message, though. Rather, instead, it's more this. Regardless the trouble, even any trouble, even no trouble, those who stay rooted in God's word, they will stand. Unmoved and unshaken, they will, despite any trouble, experience divine peace and power and victory. It doesn't matter what's going on right now. It doesn't matter what's to come in the year ahead. Don't you want to experience that in your life today, every day? Divine peace, divine power, divine victory. Surely we do. Even the world collapsing all around them. Those that stay rooted in the word, they will be blessed. They'll be empowered. They'll be filled with joy. They will miraculously not just survive, but in fact, thrive. In Psalm 119 and verse 50, we read this. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." The Living Bible says it this way: God's promises, God's word, they are my only hope. They give me strength in all my troubles. Oh, how they refresh and revive me. In Psalm 119 and verse 143, I'm filled with trouble and anxiety, but your commandments, your word brings me joy. In verse 165, those who love your law have perfect security, and there is nothing that can make them fall. One translation says, and there is nothing that can defeat them. Do you understand? Really, it's true. No matter what might come, no matter anything, it's good for us. Don't you know it's good for us to stay rooted in God's word? My brother, my sister, this is the purpose of your reading, your listening this past week. Our plan, your plan. This is the purpose that you might be unmoved, unshaken, filled with peace and joy, walking in power and victory and blessing too, comforted, refreshed and revived, invincible in Him, nothing that can defeat you, more than a conqueror, as you daily root yourself deeper and deeper into His word. It's my prayer for you. What you experienced this last week, even as this last week, starting all the way back last Sunday, and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, each and every day, daily, there was the intake of God's word. Daily, you were rooting yourself deeper into His word and experiencing then even all of that. It's my prayer for you. It's the purpose for our Bible reading plan. It's the purpose for our emphasis and our focus on God's word as we read it through the week, our discussion, our consideration of it each and every Sunday. Be blessed by His word. My brother, my sister, be rooted in His word. There is this thing in Bible study. It's called the law or the principle of first mention. The idea is this: to best understand a particular word or doctrine, you find the first place in Scripture that that word or that doctrine is revealed. The first place it shows up, the first place it's mentioned, and you study that. You develop your understanding of that word or that doctrine from that place of first mention. The reasoning, the Bible's first mention of a concept is the simplest and clearest presentation. It might be more fully developed throughout Scripture, but this is the foundation that all the rest will be built on. The first mention, it's sort of the cornerstone, if you will. Other stones are going to be laid, but always in reference to that cornerstone. And any stone out of line with that stone, no matter our efforts to lay it, no matter our thinking that it belongs, it doesn't. If it's not built on the first mentioned foundation, if it's not in line with the first mentioned cornerstone, it's out of place. It doesn't fit with the scriptural definition of that word or that doctrine. It might be something you want to practice, by the way. Make it a part of your Bible study. Something of Scripture that you want to learn more about. Some idea, some doctrine, some concept. You want to know it more and better. You want to understand it more and better. You want to live it out more and better. Find the first mention. Study what that looks like there. Apply that to your life and build on that then from there. If you read with us this last week, whether you know it or not, whether you recognized it or not, you actually encountered a first mention. The first time the word worship appears in Scripture. When we think of worship, we tend to think of a Sunday morning. The music, the songs part, We've even more specifically defined worship in our sort of simplifying of church singing. The fast songs that we sing, that's the praise. The slow songs, that's the worship. So very simply defined, what's worship to us, we've defined it. It's the few minutes before the message, the few minutes of singing. And we build on it from there. The atmosphere that's set, that becomes part of the worship experience. The songs that are sung, that becomes a big part. We start with the singing, we build from there, and we develop some pretty strong opinions as to how that worship should go. One pastor in his survey of churches discovered that worship is the number one problem. With all the rest that it is, we've made worship a pretty contentious thing. We've drawn some very personal, some very traditional, some very definitive lines as to what's right and what's wrong in worship and with worship. If you read with us this last week, you're maybe wondering about now, maybe Pastor got his weeks mixed up. Because I don't remember reading anything about music and singing. I don't remember reading anything about fast songs or slow songs. I don't remember reading anything about the difference between what's praise and what's worship. I don't remember reading anything as to the instruction on setting the right atmosphere in worship and what the right atmosphere looks like. You're maybe wondering that. Because, in fact, you didn't read any of that. You didn't because the first mention, remember, the foundation, the cornerstone, the first mention of worship, there's no singing. Not fast songs, not slow songs. Do you understand? Immediately, there ought to be a sense in each and every one of us, we might be in trouble related to worship. Right? For us, for the church, the foundation, the cornerstone of worship is singing. But that's not scripture. Have we defined worship? Have we settled into a definition of worship that's in fact not even scriptural at all, even to a degree? The first mention, there's no singing. There's no mics, no worship team, no choir, no projector, no screen. There's no opinion. There's no discussion. Should it be hymns or should it be choruses? Come on, you know that's all worship's all about anymore. One that says we ought to only sing hymns, another that says we ought to only sing choruses, maybe a few that find a place in the middle. Should the music be loud or soft? Guitars and drums or just pianos and organs? It's none of that. There's no opinion, there's no discussion as to the atmosphere set. Should the lights be brightened or should they be dimmed? Should it be light or dark? Should the stage lights be on? Changing color, moving in a super cool pattern across the stage. Should the smoke machine be up and running? Wow, the atmosphere that creates, right? Or should the light show be shut down and the smoke machine too? You didn't read any of that because the first mention of worship, the foundation, the cornerstone, has none of that. You understand? Our thoughts related to worship, our opinions related to worship, everything that we include, everything that we make part of what we call worship, none of it has anything to do with Scripture's first mention of worship. All our thoughts, all our opinions, all our stuff, there's none of that. There's only an old man and his only son. Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." It's unbelievable, right? The great preacher Charles Spurgeon, he says this, "I cannot imagine a greater test than that which the Lord applied to Abraham. The Jews usually say that Abraham was tried 10 times. Surely on this occasion, he was tried 10 times in one." And yet despite that, this is Abraham's response. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there." Here it is. "We will worship, and then we will come back to you." Can I challenge you this morning? The law, the principle of first mention. Listen, worship. Build from here. Don't build from a song. Don't build from the music. Don't build from a feeling. Certainly not from an opinion. Not even a tradition. Don't build from a scheduled part of a Sunday gathering. Build from here. Let this be the foundation. Let this be the cornerstone. Let everything else of your understanding of worship, let it flow from here. Let it align. Let it fit with this. This that an old man and his son teach us about worship and what worship really is. The first mention, the foundation, the cornerstone. The clear instruction given by Abraham and Isaac. Listen, real worship. Listen now. It's not a song. It's not singing. It's obedience. Have you worshiped the Lord lately? You want to answer the question with the song. Yes, I worship the Lord all the time in my car. It's always the Christian radio station when the music comes on. Pastor, you should see me worshiping. I'm singing right along with. I'm praising Jesus right as I go down the highway. Every now and then, I'll lift the hand. I'll praise him. I'll worship him all the time. It's the only music on in my house and my AirPod on my phone. It's always, I'm worshiping Jesus every chance I get. I love worshiping Jesus. You've answered the question entirely wrong. Your answer is an answer of obedience. Yes, Pastor. I worship the Lord just on Tuesday. At the grocery store, the Lord asked me to go to that person and pray for them, and I obeyed him. I worshiped him. That's how you answer the question. Be careful of answering with a song. Be careful with answering with an atmosphere. Oh, Pastor, it's wonderful. I've got a little space in my home. I dim the lights. I put on the nice worship music. It's a beautiful time in the presence of the Lord. Oh, Pastor, I love worship. But you've answered wrong again. It's a question of obedience. Have you obeyed him? Do you understand? From the negative perspective, where you didn't obey him, you didn't worship him. He told you to talk to them. He told you to send a note to them. He told you to go and pray with them. He told you to share your faith with them. But you didn't obey. You didn't worship. Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and sacrifice him. Offer him as a burnt offering to me. Unthinkable. unprecedented, out of character. And yet none of this seems to matter to Abraham. His only concern, obedience. He had heard the voice of God, and he would obey no matter what. That's worship. It's obedience without condition. Interesting, isn't it? What we're so inclined to so often do, put conditions on our obedience. If it's figuring into our plans, our agenda, if it's convenient for us, well, I didn't really have anything else to do today. If it aligns perfectly with all that we've got going on, we'll obey then, sure, why not? If we can be assured that it'll pay off for us in the end, we'll obey. God, you show me how this will be good for me, and I'll do it. But if it doesn't look good and you don't, I'm not sure I will. I'm not sure I need to. You can't ask of me like that, God, without some assurances. If it makes sense, if we can understand, we'll obey. So our condition, wait a minute there, God, before I'm going to commit to obeying you, you've got some explaining to do to me. Can I challenge you this morning? Deciding that conditions must be met before you obey, that will always hinder your obedience. Every single time it will. It'll compromise your worship. This didn't fit into Abraham's plan. He didn't want to do this. It didn't matter. It wasn't convenient. It wasn't clearly explained. It wasn't understood at all. It didn't matter. Abraham's was an unconditional obedience. And that, my brother, my sister, listen, forget the song for a moment. That's real worship. It's obedience without delay. This unbelievable knife to the heart command from God. Abraham got up early the next morning to obey, to do what God had asked of him. One says this, Abraham didn't debate or seek counsel from others. In maybe more modern day talk, Abraham didn't need time to pray about it. He knew what to do. He knew what he had been told to do, and refused to use stalling tactics. Another says this, the wealthy Abraham even saddled his own donkey, and even though well over 100, he split the wood for the sacrifice. The instruction then from the author, when God gives you a command, don't hesitate and don't delegate. How about this from Psalm 119? Without delay, without any hesitation, one translation says, another, I won't waste any time. I hurry to obey your commands. That's worship. It's obedience without compromise. It's interesting the language of this. Let me reread it with a little bit the emphasis. Genesis 22 and verse 3. So Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his donkey. And took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering, and went to the place of which God had told him to go. Verse 6, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And the two of them went together. Verse 9. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there. And placed the wood in order. And bound Isaac his son. And laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand. And took the knife to slay his son. This is a grammatical technique. This repetition of the and. Emphasizing every detail. It's Abraham doing everything, taking care of everything, leaving nothing undone in obeying God. Don't you know, deep in his heart and soul, an agony at every end. And he cut the wood. Can you imagine? I know what this wood is for. And he saddled the donkey. I know where this donkey is taking us. And he built the altar. I know who's going to be laid on this altar. Don't you know the agony at every end, deep within his heart? And yet, that's Abraham's obedience. Without compromise, without shortcut, without manipulation of the instruction and its demand on him. That's worship, obedience. One says this, if you don't plan to live the Christian life totally committed to knowing your God and to walking in obedience to him, then don't begin. For this is what Christianity is all about. It's a change of citizenship, a change of governments, a change of allegiance. Listen, some in the room, with all due respect, you may have need to hear this morning. If you have no intention of letting Christ rule your life, even as you sit here in this room, listen, then forget Christianity. It's not for you. You have to understand this morning, this is the call of our Christianity, to worship our God. Unless you think that involves, well, that means I got to go to church and I've got to tolerate a few songs. You just fill in the time before the pastor gets up and speaks. You are terribly mistaken about what worship is. Worship is obedience. This is what it means. You surrender your life to Jesus. Your Christianity, you commit to worshiping him. You commit to obeying him at every turn. Without condition, without delay, without compromise. Don't miss the first mention. Listen, don't build on something other than the foundation. Don't put in a stone that's out of line with the cornerstone. This is worship. Obedience is worship. Complete obedience, that's worship. Without condition, without delay, without compromise, that's worship. And worship, it's submission. Submitting to the lordship of Jesus in and over our lives. It's submitting, bringing ourselves under his rule and his reign and his way. It's bringing all of ourselves under all of that. This wasn't Abraham's plan for Isaac. This wasn't his dream for how the life of his son of promise, his only son, the son that he loved. This is not his dream for how the life would play out, ultimately even end. But Abraham didn't care about Abraham. Abraham didn't care about Abraham's plan. Abraham didn't care about Abraham's dream. Abraham was submitted to God. God's rule, God's reign, God's plan, God's purposes, what God wanted, what God was doing. Abraham freely submitted himself to that. He worshiped. Listen, my brother, my sister, if you're going to worship, you're not just going to sing a song. You're going to take up your cross and die daily to you. The story of Job. We're still reading his story from a couple of weeks ago. You'll remember having read this. Job chapter 1 and verse 20. At this, Job got up, tore his robe, and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart." Listen, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away, you know it, may the name of the Lord be praised. Job worshiped. He submitted himself to God. Do you see it? Whether God was giving or whether God was taking away, it didn't matter. It never matters, not to the worshiper, because the worshiper is submitted to God. It's about Him, not my wealth, not my health, not my comfort, not my plan, not my hopes, not my dreams, not anything of me, only Him. It's only about Him. One says this related to our application of Job and his worship. In all our comforts, God gave us our being, made us, and not we ourselves, gave us our wealth. It was not our own ingenuity or industry that enriched us, but God's blessing on our cares and endeavors. In all our crosses, the same that gave hath taken away. And may He not do what He will with His own? He that gave all may take what and when and how much He pleases. That's submission. That's worship. Listen, never mind the song that you sang. Have you given God that permission? God, what and when and however much of me or mine you want, you can have. In the giving, in the taking, your name is still to be praised. In affliction, in blessing, in sorrow, in joy, in loss, in gain, in grief, in celebration, the true worshiper, submitted to the Lord, recognizes and declares in and through it all, oh, but His name is still to be praised. Oh, but blessed be the name of the Lord. In Psalm 95 and verse 6, we read this: come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. That's always the posture of worship. Listen, worshipers don't just sing. Worshipers bow down. They kneel before the Lord, our Maker, in absolute, in complete submission to Him. One says this: in submission, we must give up our perceived rights in order to follow Christ. Everything that we previously considered to be ours now belongs to Him. We forfeit our right of possession when we choose to follow Jesus. All we have is now to be used for the service of God. All sense of ownership must be eradicated and everything dedicated to Him. That's worship. Never mind the song that you've sung. When was the last time, in submission to You, oh God, I declare everything of mine is Yours, belongs to You. One says of Abraham, there's not a word of argument, not one solitary question that even looks like hesitation. God is God, he seems to say, and it's not for me to ask Him why or seek a reason for His bidding. He has said it, I will do it. That's submission to Him. That's worship. Don't miss the first mention. Don't build on something other than the foundation. Don't place a stone that's out of line with the cornerstone. This is worship. Submission to God and surrender to Him. Surrender is a battle term. It implies giving up all rights to the conqueror, closely related to submission, but maybe in some ways different even as well. When opposing army surrenders, they lay down their weapons and the winners take control from then on. That's what we do in surrendering to God. We lay it all down for Him. We let Him have complete control of us. One says this: this world is a battleground. Since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the world God created has been in conflict with Him. Satan is called the god of this world, and due to Adam's sin, we are born on his team at war with God. But you understand, when you gave your life to Jesus, you declared God the winner. You were on Satan's side. But God's grace and mercy demonstrated at Calvary won you over. God declared the winner of the war in you and over you. Now listen, you understand, right? To the victor, That's him. Belong to spoils. That's you, my brother. That's you, my sister. You surrender yourself to him. In the words of the song, you lay down your weapons now. You raise the white flag. The war is over. Love has come. His love has won. You surrender all to him, all for him. You know this maybe a little better. All to Jesus. I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel thy Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I surrender all. That's worship. Not just the song, but the activity of it, the demonstration of it. Do you understand this morning, if there's unsurrendered areas of your life? I don't mean to sound rude or mean. I don't care what song you sang. You've not surrendered it all to him. You've not worshiped him. Not as you should, not as he deserves. Surrender means coming to God with open hands and an open heart. Surrender is a blank check without restrictions. It's us telling God, all I have, all I am, all I ever hope to be, I offer to you. For the God who offered up his very life for me, I gladly offer. I gladly give it all. It's true, some people are offended by the story of Abraham and the command from God to sacrifice Isaac. Lest there be any confusion, know how the story ends. Abraham stopped because God provides a ram in the thicket. Still their offense, still appalled by a story of a God who would ask of Abraham, his very own servant, like this. Truth be told, would that they be more offended, more appalled, if you will, by the story of a God in heaven who gave his son of promise, his one and only son whom he loved, the story of Calvary, when God does not intervene. If you're going to be offended by that, not by the God who asks of Abraham, stops Abraham, providing a ram in the thicket. Be offended, be appalled by a God in heaven who for you would send his only son and not intervene, not stop hands and feet from being pierced by nails. His brow, a crown of thorns. His side, a soldier's spear. Listen, no matter what he asks of you, this is worship. For him who offered up his very life for me, I will gladly give whatever he asks of me. I will gladly give it all. That's surrender. That's worship. Our lives surrendered to the promiser, not the promise. Our lives surrendered to the blesser, not the blessing. Our lives surrendered to the provider, not the provision. Worship is surrender, and worship is sacrifice. Worship is letting go of something. Worship is giving something up. It was the author, Holocaust survivor Corrie Ten Boom, who said, "I have learned to hold all things loosely, so God will not have to pry them out of my hands." That's worship. Listen, worshipers don't just have lifted hands, they have loose hands. Ready and willing, always ready and willing to let go of whatever he asks of them. On Wednesday, we heard the story of a 16-year-old girl who has determined to devote her life to ministry amongst the Vietnamese of Cambodia. All the dreams. What do you dream of when you're a 16-year-old kid? All the hopes, all the ambition of a 16-year-old given up to serve God, to serve His kingdom. No thought of fame or fortune, glory or influence, popularity or power, all of it given up for the Vietnamese of Cambodia that they might know Him. Listen, I don't know what song she's ever sung, but I know this, she's worshiped. In her sacrifice, she's worshiped Him. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Worship is sacrificing our mistakes, our failures. We give those up. We lay those on the altar. We let Him have that, and God takes that. All the mess that's us, and He forgives, and He shows grace and mercy, and He makes good of what the devil meant for harm. He makes something beautiful out of our mess. Truth be told, we're very comfortable with that kind of worship, with that kind of sacrifice. We're very quick to respond. Come on, my brother, my sister, come to the altar. Offer to Jesus all your mess, all your sin, all your shame, all your regret. We're running to the altar to do that. We don't want to carry the burden of that anymore. And to hear the invitation that He would take it, we're glad to worship Him and sacrifice all the mess of our life that we're so ashamed of and that we so regret. Worship is more, though. Notice for Abraham, I want to be very careful, but you'll understand. Listen to me carefully. Notice for Abraham, it's not Ishmael that's asked of him. Ishmael is not the son of promise. Be very careful. Listen, you have to hear what I'm saying. You know it to be true. You read the scripture of it. I don't mean to say it the wrong way. I hope I don't. Ishmael is the son of Abraham's mistake. Abraham and Sarah deciding, you know what, we need to help God fulfill His plan. A son of promise for you and me, Abraham. We need to help God. So here, take Hagar, my servant. You can have a son with her. We'll help God with His plan. We'll help God fulfill His plan. He can't do it now anyways. We're too old. God needs our help. So here's Hagar and a son from her that would be named Ishmael. Listen, can I just remind you, side note, whenever you think you need to help God fulfill His plan, you're already making a mistake. You're already in trouble. Prepare yourself for a mess that you're about to make of everything. Do you understand? Ishmael is going to be blessed. Ishmael, in his own right, is going to be the father, if you will, of many nations, a great people. Ishmael is not the son of promise. Can I say it in contrast? He's the son of a mistake. Do you see it this morning? Worship is not just the sacrifice of your mistake, your shame, your guilt. It's not just giving God that. It's the sacrifice as well. Listen, of your blessing, your promise, your comfort, your security, your hope and future. In the end, sacrifice is giving up. Sacrifice is offering to God not just the mistake, but the miracle as well. In fact, really, it's deeper even still. Worship's not just giving something up. Worship's giving everything up. Worship says, I have no boundaries. Come and do what you want, God. Nothing's off limits. Listen, worship says, God, there are no trespassing signs, not in my life. God, you can request, you can have anything you want. There's no goal, there's no dream. Listen, there's no relationship, there's no friend, there's no possession, there's no activity, there's no hobby. God, you own it all, you're worthy of it all, you can have it all. This is the song that we sing, you're worthy of it all. Listen, for from you are all things. That's the part that we like. That's the part where we get from God all that we have, every good gift from Him. You're worthy of it all, for from you are all things, the song continues, and to you are all things. That's the sacrifice. That's the giving up. That's the holding with loose hands. That's the struggle. But listen, that's the worship. It sounds maybe like this: Lord, you have access to it all because you are worthy of it all. Don't miss the first mention. Don't build on something other than the foundation. Don't place a stone that's out of line with the cornerstone. Forget a moment. Forget an atmosphere. Forget lights dim, projector on. Forget the soft music played. This is worship. Obedience to Him. Submission and sacrifice to Him. Surrender to Him. Finally, this morning, worship is that. It's all that. Also this. It's faith-filled. Look at it in verse 5. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Worship is bowing before a God, acknowledging a God with whom nothing is impossible. A God who is able to resurrect. To make something beautiful out of the mess I bring to Him. To give back better than the best I could ever give to Him. One says this: if Abraham is acting with the highest possible level of faith, it could be argued that he didn't hesitate because God promised inheritance to Isaac. God had the problem, not Abraham. I love the thought of that. No wonder that kind of faith in Him, no wonder that I can worship, I can obey, no matter what, I can submit, and I can surrender, and I can sacrifice everything even to Him. We finish this morning in Hebrews 2 and verse 1, we read this: we must pay careful attention to what we've heard so that we don't drift away. This last week, you read it, what real worship looks like, not a song. Listen, singing is easy. Singing makes no demands. Worship does. It's much easier to sing a song than it ever will be to worship. Singing requires nothing. That's why we all like singing. There's no demands made of the singer. But when we worship, obedience and submission and surrender and sacrifice and faith that recognize who God is, the God that we're worshiping, when we worship, God, you have access to it all because you're worthy of it all. When we worship, the demand on us is for everything. No wonder we've turned worship into singing. But how about no more? Instead, the first mention, the foundation, the cornerstone, the scriptural worship, the real worship. We don't just sing. We obey. We submit. We surrender. We sacrifice. We give it all to Him. We worship Him. I believe the message ultimately, in the end, is a question for us this morning. Listen, hear the question, my brother, my sister. Will you worship? Not will you sing. Not will you have a few songs playing on the radio. Not will you lift your hands, clap your hands. Not will you dim the lights, bring down the screen, put on the fancy projection. Will you worship? Do you hear the question this morning? I sense it from the Spirit of the Lord, from my heart and from my life, and for each and every one of us in this room. Will you worship? It is my prayer that all of us would respond, even without a song. Oh, we will worship. Father, would you help us this morning? Would you help us in that, I pray? Help us to be real worshipers. speak to my brother, speak to my sister this morning. That we worship you rightly. Just for a minute, would you have time with him? I wonder, is there an area, you know it, you see it. There's disobedience in your life. He's commanded exactly the opposite of whatever you're doing. It's as blatant as can be. There's disobedience. I wonder this morning, will you worship? Will you submit to him? Will you surrender? Will you give that thing up? Will you change that? Will you obey him so that this morning you can worship him? Do you hear the question, my brother, my sister, will you worship? Maybe in your life you recognize that there's areas in your life you're not submitted to him, you're not surrendered to him. Maybe you hear the call of God this morning. He's asking you to give that up, to give something up. Do you hear the question, will you worship? Will you worship? Don't just sing a song. Obey him. My brother, my sister, obey him this morning. Surrender your life to him. Submit your life to him. Give him everything. Lord, you have access to it all because you're worthy of it all. Come on, not a song. You worship Jesus this morning. Not your voices, lift loose hands to him in worship. Not a song, lift your Isaac to him. Let him know that that's his. Let him know you're going to obey him. You're going to submit to him, surrender to him. You're going to give to him. Just for a minute more, meet with Jesus. I believe the Lord would speak to you. I believe that some in the room, you're not living for Jesus like you should. You're thinking you can worship without obedience. Surrender, submission, or sacrifice. And this morning, you're just confronted with the truth. You bought into a lie of what worship is when really it's not that at all. But you can change that right now. You can begin to worship Jesus before you leave this place. Obeying him, submitting to him, surrendering to him, giving to him. Would you stand to your feet this morning? I know we all don't necessarily like to lift our hands, but would you just lift open hands to Jesus? Unclenched fists, my hands open, loose hands. Just lift loose hands to Jesus. Just however you want to do that. Raise them high, lift them high. Just to your side, whatever you do, what's comfortable. But lift open palms, open hands to Jesus. Come on, worship him just for a moment. Worship Jesus. Commit yourself, Lord, I'm going to obey you. If you ask of me, I'm going to do it. Lord, I surrender all my hopes, all my dreams. I submit to you. You are Lord over me. I die so that you might live in and through me. It's all yours. It's all yours. I give it to you. Ask of anything, Jesus. It's yours. That dream, you can have it. I don't need it. I'd rather worship Jesus than hold on to something that's probably not good for me anyways. That relationship, that job, that desire, that ambition, I surrender it to you. You ask of me to give my life to something other than me and what I'm giving my life to now? I do it. I belong to you. I'm surrendered to you. You're the victor. To the victor belong the spoils. That's me. I belong to you. Whatever you want. Whatever you want. Whatever you ask of me. Open palms. Open palms. You can put your hands down. This is what we do, Jesus. It's our worship this morning, not just a song. Obedience. Lord, help me to obey you. My brother, my sister, help him to obey. Submission and surrender and sacrifice, those are three words we never like to hear. We fight to come under any of them. Help me, help my brother, my sister. Come on, just commit yourself to this for a moment. Just commit yourself to this before we go. I'm going to pray the blessing of the Lord over you in just a minute. Just commit yourself to this. If you want to sing it, you can sing it. But just make sure you don't settle in singing. You settle in committing to this. We're going to surrender to you, Lord. We're going to worship Jesus. We're going to surrender. All to thee, my blessed Savior. All to thee, Jesus. Come on, commit your life. Commit everything to that. That's worship, my brother. That's how we worship Jesus today. We worship you, Lord. Come on, pray that. Take me, Jesus. Take all of me. Take me, Jesus. Take me, Jesus. I am wholly thine. All to thee. Hallelujah. We surrender all to you. Today, Jesus, we submit to you, we give to you, we obey you, our worship faith filled, no matter what you ask of us. You're the God that's more than able. You're the God with whom nothing is impossible. You can resurrect, you can give back better than whatever was given. We understand faith filled, the best thing we can do this morning is respond in worship. The best thing we can ever do, obey you, submit to you, surrender to you, give to you. This is the faith that arises within us. This is the faith that is the foundation even of our worship today. We love you this morning. Jesus, we want to worship you, and we will lift our voices, and we will sing a song of worship. We surely will. But Lord, we want to worship you. First mention, foundation, cornerstone. We want to worship you. We want to obey. We want to submit and surrender. We want to sacrifice. We want to worship you with faith that pleases you. Help us to do that, I pray, in Jesus' name. Lift your hands to receive his blessing, would you? I declare the blessing of the Lord over your life, my brother, my sister. Listen now. The blessing of the Lord, the word of the Lord, that you be blessed. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, and be good to you and be gracious to you. And the Lord turn to you and give to you his peace. In Jesus' name, would you receive that? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless you this morning.